We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is Tyrese Haliburton, and you're listening to Setting the Pace.
In the pace with Alex and Fauci, Alex and Fauci, Alex and Alex. If I put our jacks in the paint, how you gonna stop me? How you gonna stop me? How we can go head to head. Call out your top three, call out your top three. Look at the switch from Duarte. Now that boy got three. We got Haliburton running point. This is the Benedict for the shot. If anybody gonna come in the post, then we got Jalen Smith for the block. Setting the pace, going to the top. Setting the pace, going to the top. This is your number one podcast. Sweeping every team, we gonna need a mop. Smooth.
Pacer Nation, what is going on? It is your boy, Mike Fauci here, kicking it solo, but not for long. No Alex Golden today, but we do have a special guest. We are joined by Grant Afseth, who covered the Pacers for quite a few years, now covers the Dallas Mavericks. We'll be touching on the recent Pacers and Mavericks game, as well as just kind of the landscape of the NBA, what this rebuilding process has been like for the Pacers compared to the Dallas Mavericks, who are pushing their chips, you know, all in, making the trade for Kyrie Irving, seeing a taking a swing on a player that is set to hit free agency, something that the Pacers were very reluctant to do, and much more. But, you know, I don't want to spoil that for you. But touching on more serious note, the passing of David Benner. David spent nearly 30 years as director of media relations for the Indiana Pacers, passed away on Wednesday of this week. Just my condolences goes out to his family. This man was an absolute legend. Became a started with Indianapolis Star as a part-time sports writer in 1979. I mean, this man was Indiana sports. He had spent time covering the Pacers, Notre Dame football, Indiana University. I mean, just across the board, but he had been covering the Pacers with the Pacers in specific for 28 years. I was fortunate enough to have one interaction with David, and it was him helping me out to land TJ McConnell on Setting the Pace in his final season. David did not have to help me out. David had no idea who I even was, but just out of the kindness, you know, of his heart, was able to coordinate that interview. And for that, that's something that I always look fondly on. I was just looking at the email yesterday and just seeing how quickly he got back to me. Him being able to help Alex and I out definitely says a lot about him in just one quick instance, but an absolute legend. My condolences go out to David and his family. And then on other news, Kendall Brown, I know we wanted to see more of Kendall this season. That unfortunately will not be happening. Didn't get to cover this earlier in the week, but Kendall Brown is out for the remainder of the season. He underwent successful surgery to address a right tibia stress fracture. Sort of a lost season for Kendall. Unfortunately, the Pacers did trade up to acquire him at pick 48. He tried to fight through the pain, which he received in December and then was ruled out indefinitely. Missed 6 weeks, ended up returning for 10 more appearances. For the G League, he ended up averaging 10.3 points, 5 rebounds per game, 2 assists, 1.4 steals on about 51% shooting from the field in 16 games with Fort Wayne. We wanted to see more. We definitely wanted to see more. And all in all, he made 6 appearances for the Pacers, totaling 9 points, 6 rebounds, 4 steals, 3 assists. Look, it's nothing to get excited about, but I love his length. I feel like this is someone who we knew was very raw. We knew he was a 5-star recruit coming out of Baylor, but knew playing time was going to be a bit hard for him to come by. And that's kind of where we hoped at the end of the season that Kendall would be able to, you know, really just get some good run out there. Fortunately, that's not the case. He's been on a 2-way contract all season. Who knows what the Pacers will do with Kendall in the offseason, but still very young, would like to see him healthy. And I think the best basketball for Kendall is in front of him rather than behind him. So I'm excited about that. But before I continue to just blabber on anymore, I just want to say this real quick. Whether you wanted wins or not, the Pacers are hot right now. They're hot. They've won 3 of 4, and the one game that they didn't win, they gave Boston all they could handle when they lost 142 to 138. So we're seeing that this team is not just rolling over and, you know, and giving up. They're giving it everything they got. They have another winnable game later tonight. I'm recording this earlier in the day when they play San Antonio, a team that the last thing they want is a win. That's the Spurs I'm talking about. So Pacers very well may end up winning that game. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I only really picked them for about maybe 6 wins after the All-Star break. They might already have 3 of them. So who knows? I guess I sold this team a little bit low, just like I did before the season. But it's been awesome. I mean, these games have been really fun against the Dallas Mavericks, winning that one 124 to 122. A battle of the birthday boys between Halliburton and Luka. Halliburton walks away with the dub. That was awesome. But hey, guys, let me bring on Grant. We'll be right back.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, everybody, we are back, and we are joined by a recurring guest, Grant F. Seth. He covers the Dallas Mavericks for DallasBasketball.com. Grant, what's going on?
Not much. Just, you know, headed to Mavericks Sixers, you know, later tonight. Looking forward to talking about Pacers Mavs for sure.
Of course, of course. And for everybody who might not be aware, Grant spent quite some time covering the Pacers, you know, in years past. So he is very knowledgeable about what's going on just around the league. So not just the Dallas Mavericks. But, you know, Grant, taking it a few years back, I definitely remember you posting some pictures about, you know, watching Miles Turner practice in the past. And I would say 10 out of 10 people will tell you Turner's having a career year right now. But what has stuck out to you most this season from the Dallas native Miles Turner himself?
Yeah, I think the big thing is that he's playing the traditional, like, center role, you know, like sharing the front court with Domantas Sabonis, you know, with the way Sabonis kind of handles the interior, there's not naturally going to be as many opportunities for someone like Miles to kind of like roll to the rim, be like the play finisher around the rim on, you know, just things that happen within the flow of the offense with him spacing. But now he, you know, he's been able to kind of put the things that he's worked on in the off seasons, like finishing through contact, working down low in the post. Like he's gotten a very like fundamentally sound, well-rounded, like highly efficient, just general ability to kind of like finish those plays. and putting it all together, like playing that role. Like against the Mavericks, you know, he hit some like pick and pop threes. He has some nice like a jump hook, you know, rolled all the way to the rim and dunked it. Like he kind of showed the complete package, you know, even attacking some switches in the post. So I think that's just kind of what it is like, you know, a lot of the development I feel like for players kind of takes, you know, multiple years. And sometimes, you know, it's linear, sometimes it's not. But a lot of it, I feel like, has to do with the opportunities to kind of play through mistakes and game situations. And I feel like Miles has had that now throughout his whole career. And you're kind of seeing like the you know, realization of kind of that focus.
Oh, it's been awesome to see. I mean, Turner across the board, you know, his numbers are up, maybe not blocks, but he's playing a little bit of a different role. And obviously teams aren't going at him as much as in years past. So, no, we could live with that. But I mean, 18 points per game on 55% shooting, 40% from three. I mean, a career high rebounds with 8. He has just been awesome. And he's also coming off of what the NBA labeled as the most efficient 40-point game in history. I mean, look, it's just awesome to see him putting it all together. But like you mentioned, a big part of that opportunity, being the lone big, has been huge for Turner. But touching on another guy that you're very familiar with, Rick Carlisle, former head coach of the Dallas Mavericks, championship coach over there. Did you ever imagine him coaching a rebuilding team at this point in his career and playing the youth as much as, you know, Benedict Mathurin, Andrew Nembhard? Because it feels like that was the knock on Carlisle in Dallas.
Yeah, it's kind of the opposite for sure. Because in Dallas, Josh Green was drafted, I believe, 18th overall. And, you know, he really didn't see the floor as a rookie. And, you know, like you have pros and cons or like, you know, things, different approaches with different coaches and all that stuff. So like in Dallas, a lot of people, you know, when you're kind of looking for the positives, when you switch coaches, one of the big things is definitely like, oh, finally, Josh Green's getting some minutes. But like, yeah, it's like kind of interesting because, you know, a lot of people definitely, I remember writing a little bit about that too, where it's like, why would he go to a rebuilding team? But, you know, I guess someone who just loves the game of basketball and everything like Rick does. And like, I think he actually kind of does enjoy like the whole development process with young guys too, even if he doesn't always like trust them on the game floor early on. But so I think like he's kind of getting like a different opportunity instead of coaching like an all NBA first team guy with like the super high pressure of like winning like immediately, like every year. I think is like kind of a different thing where you can kind of like be more patient in that development approach instead of like, oh my gosh, we're 2, 3, 4, or 5 years from a trade request if we don't get out the first round this year. Yep.
No, I definitely hear you on that. And, you know, under Carlisle, Dallas had not been able to get out of the first round for quite some time following that championship. So you could see, you know, that the seat might have been getting a little bit warmer, but hey, that seat is always comfy in Indiana. His third stint there, he's clearly happy with the Pacers. And, you know, when you talked about maybe not coaching an all-NBA first-team guy, the Pacers might have two all-NBA rookies in Benedict Mathurin and Andrew Nembhard. I definitely think that Nembhard will make second team. Benedict Mathurin a lock for all-rookie first team. But when I last had you on the show back in July, you put out an article about it was basically based off of Summer League, some rookies that had performed well. What have you seen from Benedict Mathurin and Andrew Nembhard since July to now?
Yeah, I think, you know, I've been really impressed with both of them. I think, especially in this last game, Andrew Nembhard's playmaking is something that I feel like really, like, kind of enhances what the Pacers have, like, with Tyrese Haliburton. Like, having that ability for Tyrese to, like, have the ball at the top of the offense and just, like, trust somebody else to make a play out of, like, a high pick and roll or whatever, like, type of action you're in. I think, you know, that goes a long way. So the defense can't load up on Tyrese. And then, you know, I think Benedict, I think what's interesting about him is that he's made the most of like kind of like that initial role as like a NBA player. Like he's attacking in those like off ball actions. He's aggressive getting to the rim. And, you know, I think he's continuing to kind of expand his game. That's something I'll kind of like watch, you know, next season, especially like before the game. I noticed he was working with like the, you know, the on-court, you know, assistant coach in the workouts, and he was working on, like, you know, playing through contact, creating a step back, and you know, knocking the shot down. Like, things like that are things that I'll be very intrigued to kind of see as he kind of develops year by year. And if those kind of things, you know, really start to, you know, become parts of his game on a consistent basis, and building on his role, and he becomes more of like the initiator at times, I think that will become very interesting.
Oh, cannot wait for those days. I mean, everybody knows Mathurin can score. Fantastic job getting the free throw line, something that Pacer fans have been, you know, just banging at the table for years. But we can't wait until he does add more things to his game, becoming a better defender, becoming a better distributor, becoming a better rebounder. Across the board, he's just scratching the surface. But, you know, touching on a little bit that you mentioned, you know, Pacers and Dallas, they just played recently. This was a thriller. This was the Pacers won this game 124 to 122. This is a game that Pacer fans really didn't chalk up as a W before, but we walked out with one. But what was interesting was this is a game of the birthday boys. Tyrese Haliburton and Luka Doncic both celebrating birthdays. I thought that was fun. But what did you see from the Pacers that maybe had you be like, okay, you know what? I know they're rebuilding, but this might not take as long as some other rebuilds.
I think when you start seeing guys like, you know, like midseason pickups, like Jordan Nwora, like he had a step back three breaking down Maxi Kleba in the corner. And then he also, I think he was the player that received a handoff from Buddy Hield on offensive rebound and knocked down another corner three. Mm-hmm. Like, stuff like that is like, okay, like I know Tyrese Haliburton's really good and effective. I know, you know, Benedict Mathurin is going to continue to develop. I know, you know, like I know Andrew Nembhard's a draft steal, all that stuff. But when you start getting other guys like that to really start showing the progress, and especially with Miles Turner in a career, like all those pieces, you're like, okay, what can they use the cap space for? They have all these extra picks, you know, in the, you know, coming draft. What could that look like? You know, it's very intriguing possibilities, in my opinion, for sure.
And that's a good thing to piggyback off of, because the Pacers are slated to have four picks in the top 31. I don't care which team you are, that feels like too many. And in a certain instance, you could say, could that ever be too many draft picks? But where this Pacers team is at, I just feel like four picks to add to this young core, I don't know if there's going to be enough room for it. But on the flip side, a team like Dallas, you could see maybe they're looking to win now. They're not valuing picks as much. They traded two first-round picks for Kristaps Porzingis in the past. You now traded a future first-round pick for Kyrie Irving. What do you think the Pacers should do with these draft picks? Do you consolidate? Do you look to move them for a more established player? What's your opinion?
Yeah, I think, you know, with the team typically wanting to be, you know, competitive, I think it would make a lot of sense to kind of wait for the next, like, available players, like kind of what Cleveland did with Donovan Mitchell.
Love it.
Like, I maybe agree. Not, like, do that right away. But, you know, like, in the next, like, in the coming, like, few years, definitely would be something that I would look to pursue. But I also think, like, even if something opportunistic kind of just pops up, like OG Anunoby, things like that, like, I may not be, like, an all-NBA player, but some of that really like kind of upgrades a key part of your team, like 30 plus minutes per game, that goes a long way. And it's, you know, Tyrese Haliburton will continue to get better. Mathurin will continue to get better. And then all these like ancillary pieces that are young that you kind of bring in with those picks will only get better as well.
Yes.
So I think like it's definitely, you know, you can go all in as kind of Tyrese, you know, continues to develop. And you know, as he has this season, and I think it could be a very, very, you know, interesting, you know, kind of way of building the team, like how Cleveland did. I know you're not going to have as many like top picks. I was maybe, like this year, the standings, you're probably not going to be like the, you know, a bottom dweller, to necessarily get like one of those, like really, really, really high level prospects, perhaps. Unless I don't know how the rest of the season is going to play out, but at least having those extra picks gives you that extra like push in the trade scenarios.
Yeah, I would say that the Pacers might finish the regular season with the fifth or sixth worst record. So you get a feel last year the Pacers had the fifth worst record. They ended up falling back to sixth. So I'm not expecting to move up you know, really at all, but you really never know. So let's just say the Pacers slated at probably a pick around 5 or 6, but then the other picks are looking at basically about 26, 30, and 31. So in my opinion, those are more swing for the fences types of like, hey, look, I don't know what you're going to do over here, but those are the picks that I would rather consolidate and move up. Maybe the Pacers are looking at the 6th overall pick on like 14th, for instance, something back end of the lottery. I think that would be successful. But I do think they've put themselves in position to be players if there is a Donovan Mitchell type player available. We did hear at the deadline the Pacers were offering about 3 first-round picks, believed for OG, and I know that deal did not materialize. And I think at this point it might have been a blessing because I don't think the Pacers are ready to win this year. OG only has 1 more year left on his contract. But speaking about a team that did make a big swing, your Dallas Mavericks. Look, the Mavericks made the move for Kyrie. Dorian Finney-Smith, Spencer Dinwiddie. It was a 2029 first-round pick, right?
Yeah, that's correct. And then like a couple seconds.
Yes, exactly. For Kyrie, so far, and it's early and it takes time. I believe the Mavs are 1-4 with Kyrie and Luka in the lineup. But, and here's the thing. Kyrie slated to hit free agency after this season. What's your thoughts on that deal?
Yeah, I think the deal itself, I think it was a very, like, you know, good opportunity to take advantage of because they definitely did need a co-star. The way they were kind of operating before, you know, Spencer Dinwiddie in the backcourt and no, like, legit dynamic threat like they had with Jalen Brunson. You don't really have too much of a ceiling like come playoff time, I feel like, especially with the Western Conference, like teams like Denver getting healthier and all that. So I think that was the right move to make, but it's definitely challenging to navigate that midseason because, you move Dorian Finney-Smith, the defense already was struggling, and it's, you know, now it's really struggling without him because he, you know, often guarded, like, you know, top players. He was really important doing little things like making low man rotations, all that stuff, and the communicator on the back line. Like, that stuff's really they're really missing that right now, and it's not really a feasible thing to replace during the year. So I guess in a sense, it's going to be interesting to see how they kind of navigate that part of it. Cause I do think the actual fit with Kyrie and Luka as like individuals, I definitely think that's working and they're putting up a lot of points. They're just not really getting stops. And I think that hole that they have at the 4 is definitely going to be interesting to see how they handle it. Cause Maxi Kleber just came back. That's a big piece, but I don't know really how the lineups are going to be chosen. They've been playing with one center a lot, and in reality, I feel like they're too small. Like something that you probably saw against like the Pacers, their 3 through 5 is tiny. Like Justin Holiday, starting at the 3, he's like 180 pounds listed on like those.
Been there. Really,
Yeah, for sure. And then you have the 4 spot, Reggie Bullock's about 200 pounds. And Dorian Finney-Smith's like 220 pounds. So you go from like a more stout, stronger guy at the 4 to like you're basically too small with 3 through 5 and you need to cover up, your superstars. Like I don't really feel like that current lineup that they were using last night, like that setup's not going to work. I'll be interested to see if they play Christian Wood at the 5. More because he's like the closest thing that resembles a shot blocker that they have, and then Kleba next to him at the 4 because that was a combination that worked really well earlier in the year. But I that's the thing, it's like you can project like kind of if they did this, like I think they could do this, or but you don't really know what they're gonna do, so it's kind of it'll be something to monitor for sure.
No, it definitely will, but I do respect the trade for the Mavericks because I felt like in the offseason they didn't get Luka enough help. Now, obviously, getting Kyrie is a huge pickup. Remains to be seen if he does re-sign or if that pick even ends up materializing to be anything worthwhile basically 6 years from now. So we'll have to wait and see. But a team that you did mention, the Denver Nuggets. You know, the Nuggets, they sit atop the West right now. Jokic is having a great year. I mean, you could make a solid argument he's having an even better year than when he won 2 straight MVPs. But there's also the Grizzlies, the Kings. I mean, the Suns landed Kevin Durant. Who do you view as the team to come out of the West right now?
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting thing to see. I think I do really like Denver. I think, you know, them adding Aaron Gordon, him having continuity, like since they've added him, and then Michael Porter Jr. getting back in a lineup and Jamal Murray, they're really tough. Like, their home court advantage is crazy, too. Mm-hmm. Like, I think they've lost, like, I don't know if it's changed that much since the All-Star break. I highly doubt it how good they are. But I think they've lost, like, four games at home this year. Like I actually went out when the Mavericks played there right before the All-Star break. It's tough.
You're right. 28-4 at home. I mean, that is, you know, that's the best record at home in the league.
Yeah, if you're facing them as a, you know, the lesser seeded opponent, that's tough. Like, the way Jokic kind of involves everybody throughout the game and, like, kind of saves himself if he does need to kind of, like, take over. But now having Jamal Murray to kind of actually, you know, like, really score a high volume, that it's just tough. Like, something that I find kind of, you know, interesting with matchups with a lot of teams, it's like, I don't know, like it's different when you're, like, kind of up close in person to see how big these guys are and how athletic they are. Like, Michael Porter Jr. is massive for
Rivers. Mm-hmm.
Like, he just, like, sliced through Dwight Powell rotating over and help at the game that I was at. And I'm like, man, he's almost as big as Dwight Powell, and he's the five. Like, that type of stuff really pops. It's crazy.
No, it's true. But then there are other teams like the Memphis Grizzlies and the Sacramento Kings, teams that haven't quite been there yet. I know the Grizzlies made the playoffs last year, gave Golden State a really good series. But, like, are those teams that you're still having a little bit of a tough time buying into, or is it more like, hey, you know what? Hey, they could be coming, because those are two teams that – while the Grizzlies are the second seed and the Kings are the third, if they were actually in the East, they're actually the fifth and the sixth seed. So what's your thoughts on those teams?
Yeah, I think it's definitely, as you said, I would like to see them face different types of matchups. Like, especially, you know, with them having, like, traditional bigs, there's some teams that really can manage to, like, kind of either play those guys off the floor. But, you know, I think Sabonis is too good for that. You know, Memphis, I don't think necessarily has that luxury, because I think Steven Adams can be played off the floor. But then again, their problem is that they've struggled without him. So that's a really big red flag to me. It's like, you might have to, like, actually succeed without him, and you're already struggling in the regular season. Like, do you even have the personnel to necessarily make that happen? I think that's kind of why I like teams like Phoenix overall. I feel like they're very hard to get matchups against. Like, it's not really like a genius thought when you're talking about Kevin Durant. and they have different options they can kind of throw out. Like, I think KD can even slide down, you know, he, like, 4 or 5 if you really want to. Like, that type of stuff makes them really interesting, I feel like, and have a higher ceiling than, like, those Kings and the Grizzlies types teams.
Yeah, I think for the Kings, they're a team that's overachieved, and them making the playoffs regardless is a very successful year. But I don't think anyone's expecting, oh, this could be like this team could go to the conference finals. I think that would blow everybody's mind. So
yeah, it'd be like one of those things where you'd probably, like, need matchups, and then maybe
definitely
some injury in the second round or something, or you know, something along those lines.
No, I could definitely see that. But, you know, going back to your Mavs, I mean, the Mavs are now a team that they've been hot at times, a little bit cold at other times. Right now, currently the seventh seed. What's your thoughts on the play-in or play-in tournament games? Have you been a fan of it, and do you really think it prevents tanking at all?
Yeah, I do think it it does prevent some tanking, I feel like, because I think there are less sellers at the trade deadline year in and year out. But then again, I do think I think it kind of delays tanking, if that makes sense. Like, I think some teams kind of like, okay, we still have hope. But then once they don't have hope, a lot of veterans start having these having these weird, like, 3 weeks ends my season type injuries for sure. So I think I don't know. I don't know if I'm, like, the biggest fan of it, because there are some teams that get in there and compete for it that I just don't – I'm not really a big fan of. Like, if I remember correctly, didn't the Clippers lose in the play-in last year?
So the Clippers were in the play-in. Didn't they? Was it the Mavs?
No, the Mavs weren't in the play-in. They were one of the 4-5 series last year.
Yeah.
But I think they might have lost. Was it to New Orleans?
It was New Orleans. New Orleans ended up getting the 8th seed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think Paul George wasn't even able to play. If I remember.
It was no Paul George, no Kawhi. It was like this like shell of like a team, and it was just
because they had like COVID protocol stuff and injuries. And I don't know. I feel like it's kind of lame when a team like that who doesn't have like one of their stars available, like I feel like it's kind of lame if they just get like bounced and they don't even have that real shot. Like that's kind of my thing with the play-in, and I feel like. Yeah, I feel like if you're 10th in a conference, I don't know if you really deserve the chance to make the playoffs. That like that's just like 15 teams, you're 10th. Like, yeah, I'm not too big of a fan of it. I think it's interesting in the moment when you kind of take the context out of it. Like, okay, this team's, you know, their season's done after this game. Like, that's kind of cool, but. Yeah, it's definitely a lot of pros and cons.
It's definitely delaying the inevitable. I feel like there was teams like Toronto that at the deadline could have been sellers, looked at maybe the play-in as like, hey, you know what, maybe we could, if we keep everybody together, maybe we can make a little bit of noise. They ended up trading for Jakob Poeltl, which I thought was interesting because he's going to be a free agent. But then there, at the flip side, there's teams like the Bulls that are just kind of like, what are you doing over there? I mean, they had an opportunity to be sellers, but they're sticking in the 11th spot. The Washington Wizards at 10, they stand no chance at beating anyone in a play-in series. And if they did, I mean, they would be absolutely sacrificed to the Milwaukee Bucks in the first round. It would be pretty vicious. But I do think it's been fun to keep some fan bases in it a little bit longer than maybe in the past, where some teams might have given up around December, January. I think now you're starting to see teams like, hey, like the Pacers. The Pacers are 2 games out of the play-in. It's not what fans want, but you can't say that we're dead in the water by any means. But as we wrap up, I mean, what's kind of – we talked about maybe who have been some of the better teams, but like, who's been maybe just a fun team for you to watch outside of the Dallas Mavericks?
You know, honestly, until they kind of started struggling, I would say the Pacers were very fun to watch.
I like to hear that.
That was one of the teams that I enjoyed watching for sure. You know, I kind of like watching some of those rebuilding type teams that have like at least some veteran talent. I feel like some, like the Houston Rockets, are a really tough watch, like teams like that. I'm not a fan of that, but it's kind of interesting to see, like, you know, different players get better throughout the year, and then like kind of see like different confidence levels and all that stuff. And I feel like that's like the Pacers, and I always like Rick Carlisle's coaching. So it's very interesting for me to kind of see him in that, you know, younger team. Like he's been really good with the, you know, like different point guards, some high level, like point guard minds and all. And I've always been a big fan of Tyrese Halliburton's game. So like that's pretty cool dynamic to be able to see, you know, in itself for sure.
Yeah. You know, touching on Halliburton real quick. I mean, this guy, this trade bringing in, and Sabonis, hey, he was our all-star. It's not even close. Look, bringing in Tyrese Halliburton changed the whole franchise. We went from having, we got an all-star, to now, like, we have someone that can make others into an all-star. It was great to see him make the all-star game. But, I mean, what are your feelings in terms of, like, by adding Tyrese to this team as it relates to a rebuild? I mean, does it make you feel like he could change the trajectory of this Pacers team for years to come?
I definitely think so. It's very hard to find like those elite like playmakers that can also score, and like he's got good size for his position too. So like I think he checks a ton of boxes, and he's only going to get better as well. I think when you have that like kind of bigger guard too, I like that a lot, because once you start to add like more talent maybe on the wings, or develop more talent on the wings, like you can do a lot of switching, and then you have Miles Turner on the, you know, anchoring the five. Like that to me sounds like a very like good, just fundamental, like just like foundation or whatever you want to call it, for what you're building. And I'm just going to be very, interested to see, you know, like if he gets another like dynamic, like secondary option, what would that look like? You know, it could be Mathurin as he develops, could be someone else, who knows? But yeah, like stuff like that, I think he's so like good at reading the game, and like, you know, taking advantage of every little like split second of the defense, like advancing the ball, all that stuff. Like I just don't think you can really get that type of skill out of a lot of players, and that elevates your team a lot.
You just simply can't. I mean, we had Andrew Nembhard on for the second time this season. This was a couple weeks ago. And we talked about his game winner against the Lakers earlier. And I asked him, I said, what was more impressive, your shot or Halliburton's pass? He said the pass, because the way Halliburton whips it around in like under a second to find a wide open Nembhard as LeBron's crashing down on defense, it just shows that the way he thinks, A, you can't teach that. And the way that he passes is just, he's a true pass first point guard who's also giving you 20 a night scoring wise. So very special player. I think that even though the Pacers are having a down year, but we knew what expectations were. We're having a blast watching this team as they continue to grow. Games like against the Dallas Mavericks, or you know, coming up just short against Boston, even though we did beat Boston earlier this year, shows like, hey, this team on any night feels like they could hang with some of the best in the league. So that's been fun. But Grant, as we wrap up, please tell everybody where they could find you out on social media and some of the awesome content you're putting out.
Yeah, thanks. My Twitter is mostly where I'm at Grant, AFSETH. And then my writing is on mostly DallasBasketball.com. And, you know, I hope for the Pacers, I hope the ping pong ball is bouncing your guys' favor for sure.
Definitely appreciate that. Hey, Grant, as always, thanks for coming on. We'll have to do this again sometime. And best of luck rest of the season, especially in the playoffs. Look, if only one of us are going to the playoffs, hey, get the job done.
For sure. I'm very excited for it. Hopefully it's longer than it is shorter, for sure.
That's what she said.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right. Shout out to Grant making second or third appearance on Setting the Pace. At least second this season. We spoke last with him in July. Always appreciate his coverage. He's got great content on Twitter, so definitely give him a follow. But guys, it's been awesome this week. It's been a fun week having Caitlin Cooper on the show, Aaron Nesmith on the show as well. We ain't done yet. We still got some more guests for you. But if you want to know where you can find us at on social media, you can find us on Twitter at SettingThePace3. You can find Alex on Twitter at AlexGoldenNBA. I can be found on Twitter at _FACCI. You can find us on Instagram at Pacers Talk. You can find us on Facebook at Setting the Pace. You can find us on TikTok, Setting the Pace. You can find us on YouTube at youtube.com/Setting the Pace, a Pacers podcast. Make sure that you subscribe, give us a thumbs up, whatever you can do to help us out. We definitely appreciate that. And then at the end of the day, if you are excited to see guys like Jordan Nwora continue to develop and give everything we got, I mean, what a steal over there, then you gotta hit me with these three words. Let's go, Pacers!
Setting the pace, going to the top. Setting the pace, going to the top. This is your number one podcast. Sweeping every team, we gonna need a mop. Smooth.